You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the plan. You know, we hear songs on the radio a lot that talk about how heaven's got a plan for us. You know, what comes to mind when you think about those words? You know, you've heard your parents, your grandparents, maybe your favorite teacher, your minister, and maybe quite possibly a very close friend tell you that, you know, heaven, or better yet, God, has an ultimate plan for you. You know, when you hear those words, what comes to your mind? God has a plan for me. God has a plan for you. What do you think about? And, you know, I want to talk first about what I think about. What do I think about when I think about God having a plan for me? And I think these are essentially interesting words, and I think that there's great meaning derived from this specific sentence. And I think whatever we comes to mind within our own mind, the thoughts that we have a genuine purpose. They're kind of like showing us the way. It's like a guidepost to the reality of where we need to be focusing. And so when I think about when God has a plan for me, I first think about there's got to be more to life than meets the eye. I think about how there's definitely more to life than meets the eye than what we see. And I think it's interesting how we have a tendency of seeing things, what we see with our own two eyes, and we equate that as reality. But when I hear that God has a plan for me, the first thought that comes to mind is there's more to life than what I see. And that registers as a fact to me. I believe that there's things that we don't see on a daily basis that can change our entire life. I believe that even more deep than that, this is a world of some illusions. I think a lot of our illusions are derived in our own mind, the things that we create sometimes. Mostly the negative stuff that we create. The dividing ourselves from other people is a big thing that I think is created within the mind that kind of keeps us away from understanding God's purpose. I think we have a tendency of wanting to be us against the world. There's a lot of movies about that one person trying to save the world and having to fight against all these other people. But is that really true? I mean, I'm sure that there's some negative forces that are around us at all times. But is it a constant battle of good and evil? I'm not saying it is or it's not. But what I am talking about is what comes to mind when you think about that, because my first thought is that there's more than what we see. And I think a lot of times we get used to what we see derives our reality. Our reality is derived by what we see. And therefore, we don't really think about the things outside of our focus, or even the things that we might not even know are possible. Think about how many things that we haven't even thought are possible that are definitely probable, if not exist. I mean, to me, there's a cornucopia of ideas and a cornucopia of possibilities that we haven't even thought about because our mind hasn't even gone there. And our mind seems to be kind of a finite thing. I mean, to some degree, some people's minds can be vast. And I understand that some of you listening to me tonight go, I have a high IQ. I have 165 IQ. And I'm not saying you don't, but I'm saying that a lot of times we have a tendency of doing what? We only see what we see or what we think is possible. And I think that realizing that God has a plan for every one of us derives the fact that there's more to life than meets the eye. You know, the second thought that comes to mind when I think about God has a plan, my personal thought, and this might not have anything to do with you, but I think you might feel this way a little bit too, is all the pain and suffering that I've dealt with has got to be for a reason. You know, you just don't go through all this pain and suffering without having a reason. And as a kid, beginning at when I was born, I went through a lot of pain and suffering. And it wasn't anything I could do. There wasn't any sort of change in the diet that I could make. There wasn't, I mean, I was young. It was a congenital birth defect as a child. And, you know, I look back at those times and I realize there was a definite reason. There's a definite reason for that pain. There was a definite reason for that suffering because I learned a lot. I was able to derive a concept, as I'm actually in the process of copywriting right now, is deathbed wisdom. I was able to derive that because I never knew if I was going to live or die the next day. And I know there's some of you out there listening right now who are going through a painful disease, a process that you are scared about, that you pray about on a daily basis and hope and pray that eventually this will get better. And some of you even go to the point of praying for learning, to learn what it is that I'm supposed to be learning so I can overcome this problem, so I can overcome this issue, so that I can get back to me being me, a healthy version of me, where I can pursue other things instead of just focusing purely on my health. And I understand that we look at this pain and suffering and we say, well, if God has a plan for me, then there's a reason for the process. And I would have to say that to a degree there is. On the same token, we have to take responsibility for our own bodies and our own actions. We can't expect entire health when we are not taking care of our body. We have to eat correctly, have a balanced diet. I mean, I'll give you an example of my diet because I'm very strict now. I mean, I only eat very lean protein. I don't eat any meat, no pork. And I eat just vegetables, either raw or cooked with nothing on them. And I watch my alcohol intake, and I don't smoke cigarettes, and I don't smoke cigars, and I don't do drugs. And it's not to say that this is exactly what you have to do. But I'm saying that when we take care of our body and we minimize the effect of disease as far as mitigating it with what we eat, and also our daily routine. Do we work out? Do we get exercise? Do you get out and do some cardio once a day? Do you get some sun, some vitamin D? Big deal here. There's a big deal here. Sun, coupled with the right amount of exercise, coupled with the right diet, can almost ensure two different things. One, a healthy night's sleep. And two, a good outlook on life. And so if we're helping ourselves provide for those specific things, then to me, any other extraneous pain and suffering that we go through is predicated on a higher plan. And I think when we think about these in this type of format, we're able to embrace our life even more now because we can see it for what maybe in reality, it's always been. You know, the third thing that I think about when I hear a song or when I hear a friend or a relative tell me that God has a plan for me is that I need to quit questioning myself, and that self-doubt is just a personal illusion that I've created to take myself off track. I need to quit questioning myself. And how many of you right now listening to this show, I know you do, doubt yourself on a daily basis about everything. And maybe women more than men, but maybe not. Am I doing this right? Will things work out for me? Is this the chosen path I'm supposed to be on? Have I chosen correctly? Have I chosen better wisely? Am I in the right company? Am I doing the right thing? Did I get the right degree? Did I pick the right mate? All these things. Am I good enough? Ooh, below the belt. Am I good enough? Do people really like me? Am I truly loved? Am I good enough to be loved? Am I a lovable person? All these things are self-doubt. And to me, the only thing that self-doubt has ever done for me is take me off target. That's all it's ever done. So when we return, we'll be talking more about self-doubt and what it means that God has a plan for you. Stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Don't you worry, child. See, heaven's got a plan for you.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've heard recent songs out there about how heaven's got a plan for you. Better yet, that God has a plan for you. And I'm sure that you've heard your parents, grandparents, perhaps your favorite teacher, maybe a minister, or a really close, really good friend tell you that heaven and God has a definite plan for you. Those are powerful words. And those are not words that I blow off. Those are not words that I kind of, whatever. No, I listen. I heed that sentence. God has a plan for you. But you know, we can hear that all day, but what comes to mind? Because I think that when somebody tells you, somebody that you respect, even somebody you might not even know, when somebody tells you that God has a plan for you, what comes to mind? And right before the break, I was talking about what comes to my mind, what I think about. And I think about the first thing, that there's more to life than what we see. I also think that the pain and the suffering that we've dealt with in our lives are for a reason. There's a definite reason that we deal with it. And some of it seems very odd. You know, like recently in the news, we've had some bombings recently in the news. For example, let's talk about that. I recently did a show about this earlier in the week, talking about that Bangkok bomb on rocks Thailand at the Capitol, and how it was a motorcyclist with a bombing. You know, those thoughts, when we think about these things, go through our mind. And we say, well, why are those people? Why were they murdered? Why were they killed by a terroristic bomb? What kind of pain and suffering is that? What happens to them? And I think that it goes back to why we question sometimes. Is there a real reason? Is there a plan? Because we watch the news and we hear about all the suffering and we wonder, what's the reason for personal human suffering? Better yet, for all you animal lovers out there, we hear about animal abuse and animal cruelty and we go, why? Why, if there's a big plan out there, why would there be animals abused? Why would all this be happening? Why would people be giving their animals away, throwing them away, dumping them, and us having to try to clear the shelters just to try to help the animal population of animals that were not wanted? Why is that suffering? Why does that happen? And, you know, I've toiled with this my whole life because, I've been talking about that concept I had when I was a child all the way to now, deathbed wisdom. And I didn't know if I was going to be alive or dead. I still have a condition that is very rare. And it took until my early 20s that I was diagnosed finally, after not knowing and having experimental surgeries and being tested on and almost dying on the table several times. I didn't know the answer to that question, and I still don't completely know. But I will tell you that I realized that in life, the more we examine our own personal suffering and take neglect out of the equation, so as long as we don't neglect ourselves and we take care of our bodies and we do everything that we agree to, because you know what? There's a whole condition thing here. Now, I'm not saying that there's a conditional love thing, but you have to take care of your body, your heart, your soul, your mind. You know, you basically, it's like taking out a book out of the library. You know, you checked it out. You checked out this body. I checked out my body. I have a whole body here, all those organs in it and all that great stuff. I checked it out. You know, if you want to get like, you know, from God's library, I checked it out, right? So I owe it to have this life to treat my body as a temple, correct? How do I do that? I eat well. How do I eat well? I figured out what's best for me. I figured out that I'm not a meat person. I figured out that meat doesn't treat me well. I figured out that I don't digest it right. So, you know, I'm a fish person or a vegetable person. And I don't eat butter and I don't eat all this extraneous stuff and I don't use salt. And I watch what I drink and I drink a lot of water and I also exercise. And I also get vitamin D and I meditate and I pray. And you owe that to yourself to do that. And outside of that, if you're doing all that and you're still suffering, you're still in pain, I have to believe there's a reason. And I think that we have to begin with looking within ourselves to figure out that reason. Because I think if we look to animal cruelty, or we look to these people that are being bombed and these people that are getting killed all over the world in skirmishes and wars, I think that we start questioning the reality of what's really truly happening. And because we're not in their life, I don't think that we can judge it from the distance. We can make a decision that it's painful and we can be sad and it can make us cry, but can we judge their death or their pain or their suffering? I don't know if we can. And I think it puts the power back upon us and also the pressure. Because the longer we look and see our own life, the more that we have clarity. And so begin to think about your own suffering. Is this suffering by your own hand? Or is this something that you could not take care of? Is this something that was outside of your ability? And if it's outside of your ability, then there's got to be a reason for it. I learned a lot growing up with, well, a disease. And it taught me a lot and it put a lot of stuff in perspective. And yeah, I didn't have that life that a lot of friends had. You know, everything was happy-go-lucky and things were perfect and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that their life was perfect at all by any means, but I'm saying they weren't thinking about death every other day. And if any of y'all are out there and you're in a situation right now where death is a possibility, well, death is always a possibility, but it's a little closer to your door. Begin to take heed of everybody around you and do what's right, but also show your love and give your love unconditionally. And as you do that more and more and more, first off, your health will get better, but second of all, you will not have any regret. And once you've emptied that bucket of regret, your life has changed forever. And, you know, it's an amazing thing. And that's why, you know, when people say that they have these like epiphanies on their deathbed, do it before that. If you can, do it 50 years before that. But, you know, learning and loving and living is a process. You know, the next thing that comes to mind when I hear that God has a plan for me is that I need to stop questioning myself. And I realize that self-doubt is just a personal illusion. It's another illusion that I've created to divide myself from the source, divide myself from other people, to create myself as an island. I've created this to divide myself off so I'm not part of the whole. I don't fit in. The more we self-doubt ourselves, the more we don't fit in. The more we have problems, the more we have issues, the more we stay away. The more we find fault in ourselves, the more we find fault in others. And so when we realize that self-doubt is a personal illusion, because if we were as bad as we think we are, well, then how would God ever have a plan for us, for God's sakes? But in order for God's plan to come about at a decent time, we have to shed the cloak of self-doubt. It's time to take the cloak off of self-doubt, hang it up in the closet, and let it go. Because, you know, I've realized that through my life, especially through the health issues, if I could blame it on something, is I've had some self-doubt. We all have self-doubt. It's a normal thing. It's a human thing. So don't sit there and get down on yourself about your own doubt. I know that's the next step for most of us. Feel guilty about the guilt that you feel about your own self-doubt. Well, no. The buck stops here. So let's do a little rundown on self-doubt. What do we have self-doubt about? We're not good enough. We won't fit in. Everybody's better than us. For some of you, some of you cut it really deep, right? You talk about how there's no way God has a plan for you because there's no way because you're not smart enough for him to have a plan. You're lucky to be alive. This world is all against you. Everything's falling apart around you. You don't even have a choice. You don't even have a chance to be a good person. How are you going to pull this off? And the first thing about self-doubt is to eliminate. Whew, it's a rough word tonight for me, huh? Eliminate the excuses. When we eliminate our excuses, we step up to the plate in a big way. And I know it can kind of seem like, oh gosh, it's just us out there. But the more we eliminate excuses, the more we change our life. Excuses hold us back in every way, shape, and form. There's no reason to have an excuse in our life. An excuse is an excuse to live. And I've thought about that for a long time. Is every time I create excuses in my life, you know what? I excuse myself out of living. Okay, pardon me. Sorry. Let me just, you know what? I'm not going to be able to make it because this isn't working for me. And, you know, those people over there are hating on me. So I'm just going to leave. Okay, well, I've just excused myself out of that situation altogether. Dropping the ability to take something from that and moving forward. And consequently, you know what? Losing out. When we return, we'll be talking more about what I think about the concept of how God has a plan. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've heard that heaven has a plan for us. We've had our friends, acquaintances, parents, grandparents tell us that, you know, even our minister, that God has a plan for us. So tonight we're talking about what is that plan? And what comes to mind when you hear those words? And how to kind of derive content and direction, realizing that God definitely has a plan for each and every one of us. You know, that pain and suffering is actually strategic, that there's more to life than meets the eye, that we stop questioning ourselves and that self-doubt that we contain and that we hold on to on a daily basis. That's a big deal. The self-doubt is something that, oh, I've had to deal with my whole life. It's like none of us think that we're good enough. We all think that other people are better. That other people have a better beat on things. We compete against other people based on the fact that we're scared that we're not good enough. And what good does that do? That just divides us away from getting to know the people around us. You know, the next thought that comes to mind when I hear that God has a plan for me is that when doors close, and when I mean by doors, I mean opportunities. When doors close, these opportunities are shut down. Much like how doors open or opportunities arise, there's a reason behind it. And as long as we're doing what we need to do, and being all we need to be, and being a better person than we were yesterday, the opportunities that end up tanking, for a better word, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for a lost opportunity. Was it ever lost or was it not meant to be? There's a reason for everything. What about the doors that are open, the opportunities? If we allow ourselves to eliminate self-doubt, we're able to then walk through that door of opportunity. However, when we allow the ego to get in the way, for example, oh, I'm so much better than that. I don't need that opportunity. That opportunity is beneath me. I'm going to have to figure out something else. Or the flip side, the ego can hold you back in a other way as far as, well, I don't think it'll be a good fit. I think they're talking behind my back. And I think that when we accept these opportunities, we've also accept the fact that God does have a plan. And sometimes you sit there and you get angry about opportunities that get shut down. Sometimes you just get frustrated. You know, and people always say that patience word, and you go, yeah, I do have patience, but, working my butt off here. I have patience, but am I walking up the wrong pole? Am I doing the wrong thing? Am I going the wrong way? Am I trying to create something that's not here to create? Am I barking up the wrong tree? Or have I just not worked hard enough? Have I not focused enough to make things happen? Or is it just not the right time yet and things are falling into place as long as I work to create opportunity? Things will come along. And these opportunities are interesting because some of these opportunities don't look like opportunities in the beginning at all. Actually, they look far from it. They look more like obstacles, problematic situations. Very interesting. Well, they look like they're just too much difficult to take on, or it's just really not going to go in the direction you want, or maybe this is all a waste of time. And I think we have to rethink the way that we see opportunities and the way that we see missed opportunities. When we accept the fact that there's more to life than meets the eye, and we accept the fact that God has a plan for us, the universe has a plan for us, we begin to not define good and bad. We begin to not define what we need and what we don't need, or what's right, what's wrong. And we begin to identify things in a much different way. We begin to identify things in a way that we kind of don't put energy toward as far as negative energy or positive energy. And we become part of the being process, part of being there, part of association, being a part of the whole. And I think at that point, once we're able to do that, we're able to seek the opportunities that work. And we feel the things that will work and will not work. And I think we spend less time on the issues that we would normally fall for that does not work. And I'm not saying that you're falling for things. I'm thinking that you're starting to have clarity more like to the direction with the realization of your true purpose. The next thought that comes to mind when I think about that God has a plan for me is I want to cease and stop all and any doomsday thoughts. The doomsday thoughts aren't really helping me out. When is it going to be the end of the world? When does the book of Revelations begin? Oh, gosh. Oh, man. What's next for us? And I have a lot of friends that have read all those books of 2012, The Ends of the World, the book of Revelations, and the beginning of the end of time. And I get it, but if there's a real true plan, then that doesn't really mean anything. If there's a real true plan, that means that there's several options to the doomsday thoughts. One, they're not going to happen. Two, it's going to happen a long, long time from now. Three, it's not going to affect any of us. Or four, it's going to affect us, but it's going to happen for a reason, and we're going to move on to another dimension, or we're going to move on to another planet or what have you, or we're going to move on in a spiritual realm. And that, my friend, is where we're supposed to be at. I don't think there's just happenstance. There's a reason for this whole construction. I mean, the foundation's been laid. The universe has gone on for millions of years. And there's a lot of things to get out of this. To me, it feels like this is a stage in our life. Another step in the path of life. I feel like this is the next stage. And then after that will be another stage. And after that will be another stage. And after that will be another stage. And after that will be another stage. I think that life is incremental. And I think that death is just but a door. And I think that when we're thinking about opportunity again, when you go back to that thought and you think about death and you put that into perspective, isn't death more of a door opening than a door closing? I mean, I know that's kind of a deep variation of is the glass half full or half empty. I got that. You know, it's always on perspectives, more answers, less questions. So think about it. To me, death would mean that you would be transforming, going through another door of opportunity where there's yet more lessons and more amazing things to learn and to live. Just another aspect of life. And I think when we stop our doomsday thoughts and we begin to realize that those are just, you know, fear-based notions. Fear-based notions that only take us off target from what God's plan is. Because think about it. The last time you started thinking about doomsday, you weren't even thinking about purpose anymore, were you? What filled your head more than anything? What filled it? Fear. Yeah. Fear. Stress. Anxiety. Anger. Maybe a little bit of depression. But when we move from being ourselves, that God has a definite plan for us, and we move into fear-based thought, we miss out on the real reasons behind life. And we also miss out on our absolute purpose. Because I figured out the more and more that I go into that fear-based thought process, the more and more and more and more and more that I take this process and I roll it into a fear-based process, I miss out on all the stuff that's going on. I take myself right out of life. It's the same as that self-doubt. Self-doubt and fear, oh gosh. They muck and yuck up everything that we do that's good in our life. And they take us out of the game of life and they put us on the sidelines. And so tonight, I plead with you to begin to eliminate that fear. And you might have to eliminate the source of that fear. What you're reading, what you're intaking that is causing so much fear into your life. And next, to begin to eliminate that self-doubt. When we return, we'll be talking about what types of plan that God has for you. And maybe what type of plan that you should be embarking on. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've heard our friends, our family, clergy even, tell you that you have a plan, that God has a plan for you. God has a specific purpose for you. And every time I hear that, I get a bit elated. I'm happy with that because that resonates with my true being. I feel good about it. It resonates with my heart space. It resonates with me. My soul resonates with that, and I resonate with that. And I think for most of us, if we're in that headspace or we're in that heart space, it resonates with you too. And so when I think about that God has a place for me and God has a definite plan for me, like I was talking about earlier, there's more to life than meets the eye. Our pain and suffering, you know, is for a reason. And we have to stop questioning ourselves and self-doubt. That we have to look at opportunities or missed opportunities in specific ways and understand that are they really missed opportunities or are they really opportunities? Stop the doomsday thoughts. Stop the doomsday fear-mongering. Really watch the content that we take in, because every time I get into the self-doubt format and every time I begin to start fearing what's going to happen next, I get off base. I forget about that there's a distinct plan. And when I forget that there's a distinct plan, I make sometimes possibly poor decisions. And I know what you're there's a possibility that you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Have you ever seen that sign at the mall when it says you are here? Yeah, that sign. And it has a little dot next to it. And it has a little arrow and it says you are here. And when I get filled with doubt and fear, it's like I run around in a circle. I forget that XYZ, is it the orange Julius? Is it the pretzel place? Is it the pizza or the movie theater or whatever? I forget where that's located. And I basically walk around in a giant circle around that dot. And it takes me a while to get past the self-doubt and to overcome the fear until I can get myself back to where I am. And so, theoretically, I've walked in a giant circle. For some of us, that can last for hours, for some of us, days, and for some of us, years. That giant circle takes us away from where we should be. That giant circle that we make, that we zigzag and crisscross back around with failing to ask for directions, becomes a time sucker. And I've gotten better at it lately. In the last 5 years, when I start to get fear-based thought process, when I start to really, really, really be run down with fear and self-doubt, I try to, as fast as possible, immediately run from that and to get back to my core. Because when I'm able to do that, I'm able to see myself for who I am, but also, again, to go back to realize that, yes, indeed, God does have a plan. In order to see that a plan exists, just to even know that the plan exists itself, we have to shed the self-doubt and rid ourselves of fear. Then and only then, after a period of time where we realize that there's a definite plan and we allow the universe to take us in that plan and we continue to show self-love and unconditional love toward others, we allow doors to close and doors to open and we do the best to keep up with everything and to follow through, we begin to actually realize that there's a path. And on that particular path is purpose. And that purpose, that specific purpose, is what we are designed to achieve. That right there, theoretically, is the reason for our existence. At this time and space, right now, equipped with what we see as the things that we do well, our strengths, and equipped with what we see as our weaknesses. These will catapult us into succeeding and honestly walking the path of our purpose. So let's begin to talk about what types of plans that God have. What types of plans do God have for us? What is the kind of plan that he has us here to do? What kind of plan? And I don't know if you, woman or man, I'm not sitting there trying to give a specific universal sex to God. I'm not trying to sit there and say, he's got to be a man, he's got to be a woman. But I'm saying, think about it as an all-omniscient spirit movement. Creation, really. So what types of plans are in store for us? What do they encapsulate? What do they have in common? Because I can't sit there and go through each and every plan, because everybody listening right now has their own specific plan. You have your own specific purpose, actually. Straight up, your own specific purpose. And when we know that we all have a specific, individualized, uniquely created, one of a kind purpose, I can't go through all of them. I'll be going through millions and millions of them, right? But what I can go through right now are these pieces of the puzzle of what will be involved within the purpose that you will attain. You know, the first thing that is a qualifier, or first thing that is a consistent part of various purposes known to humankind, is to help other people and to help yourself. To help other people, and yes, I said to help yourself. There was a joke a long time ago about, you know, like a flooding or a hurricane and how, you know, God sends somebody to pick the people up when they're telling them to evacuate. And they said, no, God's got this. I'm going to stick here. I'm going to stay in here. You know, the next thing you know, the flooding comes up to their roof and the people are standing on the roof, you know, and the Coast Guards have a boat and they go, come on, get on. And they go, no, God's got a plan. You know, next thing you know, you got a sea dew come out there. Come on, get on. No, God's got a plan. And they go to heaven and they go, God, why'd you let me die? I knew that God had a plan because I sent three people to try to save you. And you wouldn't take one of them. And sometimes we have to realize that we're here to help other people, but we're also here to help ourselves. I mean, the thing is that we have to step up to the plate and realize that sometimes we cannot do everything. We have to realize that sometimes we have to help ourselves in order to help other people. You know, it's the same type of concept on a plane, when they run out of oxygen. They said when they hit a problem and they run out of oxygen, the oxygen mask will come down and you need to put your oxygen mask on first before you put one on your kid. The reason for that is if you're out of oxygen and you can't breathe, you can't put a mask on your kid. You know, and besides the point that I think that young people are resilient, but but you know what I'm saying, rub some dirt on it. But seriously, in order to help other people, you have to help yourself. And that means that you have to be mentally and emotionally right. And you've got to take care of yourself and realize how to take care of yourself. And then and only then can you help other people. In our second hour tonight, we're going to be talking more about the types of plans that God has for us. Those similarities that all of us have in each plan. Since we're all unique, there's going to be similarities to each plan. As well as some of y'all are out there thinking about tonight about your job and your career. And you're like, you know what? How do I give back more? But better yet, how do I implement this in my career right now? How do I implement this in my life right now? How do I implement this with the job title I have? And I'm going to give you some help on that, because I think that when you get more purpose and you realize that God does have a plan, you begin to see it and you begin to live differently. But you begin for the first time to really march to your specific drummer. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about a plan. You know, we hear often from family, friends, you know, people that actually care about you, that God has a plan for you. We've even heard it in songs, music. God has a plan, heaven has a plan for you. And the last hour we were talking about that, we were talking about what comes to mind when you think about that sentence. When you allow those words to sink in. And right now I want to talk about what types of plans does God have in store. But better yet, what are some of the familiar concepts that lie ahead for all of us? Because I think that we can't sit there and define God's plan or heaven's plan or the universe's plan, because I think all of those are individually set for individual people. So you have yours, you have yours, you have yours, I have mine. And I think that we can conjoin and have certain aspects that are similar. And I want to talk about that right now, because I think that'll actually help us to hone into not only our purpose, but how to find it and how to get there ultimately. You know, the types of plans. So when we get past the types of plans and we think about the similarities, the first similarity that would come to mind that I think everybody's plan would have is that you want to help other people. You have a need and a desire and a want to help other people. And I think that goes a long way. And I think in life, you know, when we help other people, we ultimately are helping ourselves. And that's also a part of the plan. In order to be able to have a purpose, to actually follow through with said purpose, better yet, is to take care of yourself. Help yourself. And by helping yourself, I mean taking care of your body, exercising, eating right, taking care of your mindset, watching the type of content, and, you know, being analyzing in an honest way. What kind of content am I taking in? Should I be taking this in? Is this good for my subconscious? Is this going to help me? Is this going to give me the warm and fuzzies? Or on the opposite, is this going to stress me out and keep me up all night? And not only will it keep you up all night, it's not like a short-term deal. Fear-based content and not taking care of yourself comes back to haunt you 100% of the time. And what I'm trying to say is, if you feel like, well, I don't deserve to be taken care of, and so I'm not going to eat well, I'm not going to sleep, eventually that's going to catch up to you. Eventually, you only have a certain self-life, and if you continue to live like that, your life will be cut short. And so we have to sit there and think, okay, what can I do to help myself? I can take care of myself. I can get exercise. I can get vitamin D. I can sleep. Not only can I sleep, but I'll eat correctly. And I'm going to follow a certain protocol. And I'm not going to tell you about dieting all right now. But there's certain foods that work for you and certain foods that don't work for you. And not every food works for you that works for other people. And it takes a little bit of trial and error to figure out what works for you. And you know what? Those little milestones that we figure out, like what we're allergic to, and so we shouldn't eat that, or what we can't eat and what our body digests well, and how much food can we eat, and how many calories are good for us, and how much weight do we need to lose, and how much weight is good. And when you figure out all this stuff, you're not only getting healthy on a bodily level, but you're getting healthy on a mind level, because guess what? It goes a long way to your internal self, to your mind, to your heart, to your soul, when you take care of yourself. When you honestly do what's right for yourself, it goes a long way. And so that's the part of it, is helping yourself. And the other part is helping other people. And I found that the people that actually take care of themselves the most can help others. Because I have some friends that, and I love them so much, but God bless them, I have some friends that really can't help themselves at all. And they're so gung-ho into helping other people, but they never show up. And when they do show up, they're in a bad mood. They're upset. They're stressed out. They haven't slept. And so they never are able to really contribute much of anything, because it's mostly a diatribe of how tired they are, how beat down they are, how they've been hanging out with the wrong people, and it's been killing them inside. And it's like, you know, it's never going to get any better, because they're never going to get out of that position until they start to help themselves. You know, the next similarity that we have when we're actually following a plan is that we need to be educated, and we need to educate others. Education is crucial. And I don't know about you, but anybody that's uneducated has a potential of being harmful. Because you have some people who are uneducated that don't do anything, and you have other people that are uneducated that go out there and do some serious stuff and hurt people. Whether or not they hurt people by their own actions or just by their own uneducated self. And what I'm meaning is that I recently saw something the other day, and it kind of hurt my feelings, but then I realized that he's never been probably educated. I mean, it was interesting. You see this all the time. Somebody put an ad on Facebook, not even an ad, just say, hey, dog for sale. And the person had actually misspelled dog, D-O-G-G. And this poor little dog, it was a little cute little white dog with little ribbons in its hair. It looked like it could have ribbons in its hair. It was like a little Maltese. And they're goofing around about how much money it is and all this stuff. And it's just like, man, it's a sad state of affairs. Like, there comes a time when we have to educate people and allow them to understand what's going on. And if they're having a problem financially, then the honesty is the best policy. But, you know, the idea of selling a household animal pet is just not, it's not very smart online. It's like when people take advantage of people and laugh about it. It's like when people don't know any better. And so until we educate people and until we explain to people how to live their life, how important animals are in their life, how important companions are in your life, what a dog really symbolizes, how to honestly take care of a dog. And then there's two plies to this. One, had the person been educated and know what was going into it in the very beginning, they might not have ever had the dog. Okay? And that would have taken probably half the problem away because they would have known, okay, I have to take care of the dog. I have to pay for food. I have to take the dog out to go to the bathroom. I have to actually care about said dog. And so maybe I won't get a dog. On the other hand, somebody gets into that situation, realizes it's too much for them or it's financially strapping for them. At that point in time, if they were completely educated on this situation, what would they do? They would go to a shelter, a non-kill shelter, and see if that's the right place for the dog. They would call up responsible friends and family first and see if there's any way that they could take the dog for a little while to analyze the fact if they could actually take the dog back and actually contribute and help the dog. That's the first step. Second step, of the family or friends that you count on, that you know have a good heart and soul and would take care of that animal, can't do it, then that's when you start looking at non-kill shelters. There's a whole pattern of thought here that when people are uneducated, they have no idea. They have no idea. And I was reading some articles the other day. They had this really cool event, clear the shelter, to clear out the shelters for these dogs and cats and to get them adopted. And I thought that was really, really amazing. However, on the other side, I read some articles on the web and in the newspaper that said that they thought it was a commendable idea, but they thought that it probably lacked execution. And I said, why was that? I was thinking in my head, why? And I read and it said that a lot of people adopted these animals that had no idea, one, how to take care of an animal, two, what kind of responsibility that is, and three, what kind of price tag that is. And, you know, it's the same with kids. I mean, until you're educated and you know what kind of responsibility having a child really is, how much money it costs to have a kid nowadays in this lifetime, what you have to do to raise the kid, how the kid has to get educated, clothing, food, medicine, everything. I think if most people were educated on the situation, you would still have people that are having children without birth control and whatever. You'd still have it. And unfortunately, we have to go back to the education in the very beginning. One, this is how you have a child. This is how you don't have a child. These are your options for birth control. If you want to have a child, this is what having a child means in this day and time. This is how much financial responsibility is involved. This is how many hours per day of complete and utter attention the child will need. This is how much health care the child will need. This is how much diapers are going to cost you, at least for the first 2 years. I think if people knew that information and educated themselves on it, they would make different choices. So let's take this to the next level. For all you out there that know how responsibility having an animal is, and for all you out there who already know the responsibility having children are because you've already educated yourself on that, let's go to the next level. Let's talk about education of purpose, education of value, education of next level stuff. So when we return, we're talking about that education. We're also going to be talking about the other distinct, unique concepts of the plan. And better yet, later on, how you can endorse this and massage this and put this into your current career and your current lifestyle. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've been talking about God's plan. Does God have a plan for you? And we figured out that there is a plan, but now we're figuring out what does the plan entail. And we can't sit there and talk about each and every unique plan, but we can talk about the similarities of what the plan stands for. And first, we talked about helping ourselves and helping others. And secondly, we were talking about the education factor, educating ourselves and educating others. And education is key. Education is the key concept to life. And when we help educate other people and we educate ourselves, we learn, we grow, and we get to that next level stuff. And so I was talking about the concept of educating yourself about having a child. And before that, I talked about educating yourself about having an animal and a pet, the responsibilities, the financial responsibilities, the time commitment. And I think all these things impact the choices that we make. And some of us and some people would not have made the choices they made had they been educated. Some of you have already been educated and you made that choice, and some people don't care one way or another, and they're still going to make thoughtless choices. So let's talk about education past the fact of what it takes to have a child, what it takes to have a pet. Let's go to the next level education stuff. Purpose. Drive. Path. And when we educate ourselves on eliminating that self-doubt, on seeing when self-doubt creeps into the mind and realizing when it's creeping in, how we have to let it go. But better yet, to let go of fear-based thought processes, realizing that it's not the end of the world, and realizing that that self-doubt and that fear get in the way of our purpose because it takes us off course. Like I was talking about earlier, that map that you see, and it has a dot that represents where you are, and it has an arrow, and it says, you are here. Usually you find these in large convention centers or malls. And in life, we are right there. And the more we generate self-doubt and the more we expose ourselves to fear, we will continue to walk around that circle for a very long time of our adult life. And we will continue to walk around that circle and walk around that circle until we dump the self-doubt and until we get rid of the fear, we can finally go to the next point. And that, to me, is helping educate other people. When we help other people realize that they are being mastered by fear and self-doubt and show them, and I do this in my own practice, I'm a therapist and I'm also a licensed life coach. And I help people see and recognize when they are actually self-doubting themselves and taking themselves off a course and off a purpose and forgetting who they truly are. And a good representation of when you've forgotten who you are is when you don't know what to do next. When you don't know what to do next and you are stuck in a rut and you've lost your job or you've quit, you have a tendency of having a difficult time getting out of the house, you don't know what kind of career you're looking for next, and you don't know what to do next, and you find yourself either drinking or self-medicating, that's when you need to come to me or you need to come to somebody that you trust. That means that you're off target, that you've forgotten the fact that you have a clear and conscious purpose. And also, you've kind of walked away from the concept that God has a plan. When we walk away from God saying that we have a plan and know that God's right and that he has to be, she, he, it, the universe, you forget who you are, and it's almost like having amnesia, so you're stuck. You can't do anything. You're stuck in inactivity. You can't even make an easy decision. Those easy, simple decisions seem very difficult, and when you make a decision, you worry if you've made the wrong decision. So instead of making any decision, you don't make one. And then you've made the absolute wrong decision because you're no longer participating in life. And when we can help others acknowledge the fact that this is going through their mind, that they're dealing with this, that their life is going through this just as much as ours is, and to expose it and to help them with their negative self-talk and show them that indeed they have a plan. There is a plan. The plan has been set out. We don't know the exact plan, but we know that they have a plan. To remind people of the truth is an inherent form of education, and it's an inherent part of the plan. When we remind people of the truth, of the God-given truth, of the truth that we have, right? When we remind people of the truth, it actually helps to remind ourselves. it reinforces that we know that there's a reason why we're helping other people figure it out, because we know we have a plan and we know we have to recognize the truth to get to our own purpose. You know, another concept of this purpose and this plan, I believe, is to feed and help the needy. And I'm not saying that you have to be at the soup kitchen every day, but I am saying to think about people that have less than you and not be so stuck on what you don't have. Because I think that's another thing that gets us off target. When we want things that we don't have, when we want things. And for a lot of women out there listening, and I've been in this position before, so don't think that I'm throwing stones, because I've done this before. I fell into that whole purse concept, the bag concept, the better bag. I wanted a Prada bag, or I wanted a Yves Saint Laurent bag, or I wanted a Gucci bag, or I wanted a Louis Vuitton bag. And I would read those magazines, Redbook and Vogue and Glamour, and I would look at those bags and I'd be like, golly, I just want that bag. And I went through that process, this was years ago, for about 2 years, and when I woke up with a vengeance. And I was like, what in hell? What was I thinking? What was going through my head when I believed that the end-all be-all was another bag? I was totally off target. I was missing the point, because I was over there trying to figure out how to get money or how to buy another bag when that had no purpose in my reality. I was buying into what I was being sold. And so when you get off those small things that you don't need, because how many of y'all have bought those expensive bags and those bags are sitting in your closet and you use the same one every day? What about how many of y'all use those bags and there's just trash in them? Like, you leave a bunch of stuff in there, you don't bother cleaning them out. You really don't care that much. And I mean, think about it. When was the last time that you had to go to a nice restaurant and because there wasn't enough room, you had to put your bag on the floor? How much money did you spend for that? Was it worth it? I mean, I look at those watch ads right now, and it's like there's some of these magazines have a watch ad every two pages. And some of these watches, they don't even have a price. It's price upon request. You know what price upon request means to me? Price upon request nowadays, it used to be different. Price upon request nowadays is like 50 grand and up. Why do you need a $50,000 watch? Does that bring you happiness? I mean, is it worth it? And I understand, okay, maybe if you fell for it and you bought one, $20,000, whatever it was, but buying 10 and 15 and collecting them and never wearing them? I don't believe in having things that you never use. And the reason why I say that is I had a car one time years ago that I bought, and it was a newer car. And in order to get the value back out of the car, I had to stop driving. I couldn't put any more miles on it. And so for 6 months, all I would do is rev the battery up, is go down in the garage and turn the car on and drive it around in a circle around the house and come back and park it so that the battery wouldn't die. And I did that for 6 months. And after that, I was like, what kind of joy, one, am I getting out of having this? Because this makes no sense. And what kind of joy does the car get out of sitting in the garage? And this all goes back to the idea of feeding and helping others, because when we get our minds off of these objects that we feel we need to have to define ourselves, we start seeing things more clearly. We're able to define our life in a more clear state of mind. We realize that these things are just ultimately things. And if not used, they are taking up space and energy in our life that other people could be using. So when we return, I'm going to be talking about these similarities within God's plan, and later on, how you can put all this into action in your present day life. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about your plan, your life plan, God's plan for you, and better yet, the similarities of all our plans, and how to really functionally realize these similarities, and how to put these similarities into action in your own life. And, you know, we've talked about the idea of helping other people and helping yourself, about educating yourself and educating others, about feeding and helping the needy and getting over the need for objects. When we realize that we have a plan, and you know this now, even if you didn't know it before, but I think you know now that there is a plan. And there's a purpose for you. And there's a unique purpose and a unique plan that only you possess. Every person has a unique plan as long as they choose to understand and to see it and to recognize it. I mean, we could have, you could be sitting next to $1 million, and if you don't recognize it, you will always wonder why you never had enough money and you can never afford what you needed. And a lot of times this happens because we overlook the obvious. And the unique properties are the unique plan properties. And I'm not going to go into all that because some of you could be here to serve the world as a major leader. Some of you could be here to help over different countries and to help with religious aspects. Some of you can help to get people's lives in order after abuse, after incarceration. There's a lot of things. Some of you are big brothers and big sisters out there helping the kids of our futures to help their lives. Some of you are out there gathering backpacks for children that are going back to school because their families don't have enough money to pay for their backpacks. Some of you give to the food banks because you know that there are people out there who don't have any food. They don't have any food to eat. They're doing their best. And you know that there's some people out there that are working not one, not two, but three jobs to put food on the table. And you're one of those people that, in the holiday time, you take an angel from the tree. You take an angel from the tree and you buy gifts for a family that would necessarily not have gifts for Christmas or for a holiday. And I think to a degree, all of us out here are living our purpose, but sometimes we don't realize that that is our purpose. And then some of you out there also say, well, I have a purpose, but I feel like I don't live it on a day-to-day life because I have to do this job. I have to live this life. How do I put these aspects in my current day-to-day life? And we're going to talk about that later because that's important. Because that can be an internal struggle. But right now, let's continue to talk about these components of the plan. To help people, to help yourself, to educate others, to feed and to clothe people, to help them with their necessities, to help them have a good life. And to do that for yourself, but not to excess, not to use objects as a way to define yourself or to give yourself meaning. You know, the next concept is to be honest and truthful. When we are honest and truthful, the right things happen. When we lie, we digress. And what I'm saying is that sometimes it can seem like, well, it's a little glossed over. It's okay. I don't know. I found out that when you're the most honest about a situation, it always works out for the best. Now, it might not seem to work out immediately at that exact time. For example, you're in a sales meeting and somebody asks you a point blank question and you have to sit there and say, yeah, I'm not going to represent maybe this type of company or that type of company. And they get angry about it and they say, you know what, I'm not going to work with you. And you go, okay. And I know you didn't make the sale at that time because of your values, but were you going to throw out your values just to make the sale? And so when we're honest and we're truthful in all of our daily activities, we convey a presence of honest and truth, but also we have to be honest and truthful with ourselves. I find that a lot of people lie to themselves on a daily basis. They constantly lie to themselves, telling them whatever they think that they want to hear. And you see this often, and I didn't really start recognizing it till recently. But I want to segue for just a second. For all you who are very honest and open and truthful, not filled with grandeur or delusions, for you, you have a tendency of when people tell you things, you believe them immediately because you have no reason not to. And I still agree that you should stand in the pure side like that. However, sometimes we have to realize that some people are living with grandeur and disillusions. And even though we feel that we would never be that way, or we don't talk about disillusions as they are reality, other people may. And the reason why I bring this up is not to judge them, but actually the opposite. Don't judge yourself. And why I say that tonight is because a lot of times when we are truthful and honest with no delusions and no disillusion of life, when we come upon people who are disillusioned, i.e. they make themselves out to be bigger than they are, they have grand stories of grandeur, we have a tendency of seeing our life small. Because we judge ourselves against what appears to be reality on their side of the fence. And you know, it's not until you begin to realize that you're doing this, because when we keep judging ourselves, we're putting ourselves down, we're putting ourselves down, we're putting ourselves down, funny enough, by comparing ourselves to somebody that is completely disillusioned. They can't see the forest through the trees, and they have this sense of grandeur. Now, whether or not it is medical related, manic related, or drug induced, there are people out there like that. And you have to realize not to judge your life compared to their life, because yours will never add up. Be honest and be truthful. And you know, another part of that is when somebody is telling you what you believe to not be the truth, standing up for what you believe in is not a bad thing. That person might not necessarily stay your friend, but were they ever your friend? And if they were your friend, again, was that a delusion on both parts? What did it mean? And we have to sit there and kind of look at those things and realize that when we are honest and we are truthful, what's supposed to happen happens. The doors that need to close will slam, and the doors that need to open will eventually open. The next thing that you can do, and the next part of the plan, is to be the best person you can be. To be the absolute best person you can be in all situations. And one of those things is to stop the gossip. We have a tendency as humans to like to gossip because it's fun. But is it really that fun? And I used to think it was a little fun when I was younger, and now I just feel like it's a total waste of time. It's a total waste of time. I feel like I'm never getting anything done when I'm gossiping. What am I doing? I'm over there talking about someone else's life, not even my own. I've completely jumped out of my own life and talked about theirs. And I think there's a lot of people out there right now that are listening to exactly what I'm saying and going, oh my gosh, you're right. Because it's funny how gossiping used to be, well, it was like kind of part of it. But now, right when I get into like a gossip stance where somebody makes a comment and it's like my turn to make a comment back, it's like, I don't even have any want or desire to talk about it. Because it totally gets me off my path and gets me out of my purpose, because no longer am I living my purpose. I'm judging someone else right now, and so I'm completely off task. This has nothing to do with my purpose, and I'm not living to my full potential. And this goes back to not trying to be better than other people, but to be better than we were yesterday. Be better than you were yesterday. When we are living by our purpose and we realize that God has a plan, instead of trying to be better than other people, what? We're better than ourselves day after day after day, making ourselves into better, better, better people. Loving people, generous people, smart, intelligent, consciously living, clarity-driven people who have an obvious purpose and who live with the knowledge that that purpose exists. And to live with the knowledge that that purpose is everything in our life. When we step off purpose, we step out of our life. When we step out of purpose and talk about other people, when we step out of purpose and we feel fear and self-doubt, fear, self-doubt, and gossip are the biggest things that we can do to screw up our lives, to get us off of purpose. to create a divide between what we're supposed to do and what we're currently doing. Stay tuned. You know, a lot of us are thinking about, hey, at this point in time, you're thinking, well, hey, I got this job. I work 12 hours a day. I have this job. I have this title. I have this career. How can I do all this? How can I create and continue this purpose? Because I know I have a big purpose. How can I bring that into the workplace? How can I bring that into my day-to-day life? How can I live this 24/7, Ashley? And I'm going to help you with that tonight because I think this is important, because a lot of times we wonder about purpose and we wonder, are we only living purpose 3 hours of the week when we're giving back directly to the homeless? Are we only living on purpose 2 days a year when we work at the soup kitchen during the Christmas times? No. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because I think that you're more on purpose and more on point than you ever dreamed of. So stay tuned. And I'm going to explain and express how you're on point and you're following your purpose right now and how you can generate more purpose-driven life in just a few minutes. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we talked about God's plan. What's the plan for you? And I talked about the similarities that each plan has when we're on point, when we're on purpose. And right now I want to talk about how to take those qualities and put them into your day-to-day life so that you realize that, yes, indeed, you are on point, you are on purpose, and you're following God's plan for you. And before we get into that, you know, I want, when you get a chance, take some time to check out my latest book, The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life. The 10-Day Challenge to Live Your True Life. You find that on Amazon, or you can find that on my website, ashleyburgess.com, ashleyburgess.com, ashleyburgess.com. And to get more information on the show, too, if you're on Facebook right now, I'm Facebooking right now during the show live, on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, as well as on my own pages, Ashley Burgess, as well as on Twitter right now. I'm on Twitter right now live as well at Ashley Burgess. That is my handle, at Ashley Burgess, B-E-R-G-E-S. And I want to hear from you, because you know what? It's all about my listeners that makes me happy, about how you feel, about what's concerning you. And these upcoming shows from now on, I want to do everything that's concerning you and how to resolve some of those things so you can get back into living and you can take care of the responsibilities that you have right now. So let's talk about how you can take this plan and these ways of going by creating and establishing and following God's plan for you and put that in a day-to-day life and in your career. The first thing is to recognize how we treat other people. How are we treating other people? How do we treat other people at work? When you go to work, are you happy? When you go to work, do you talk to other people? Do you show respect? Do you show love? I mean, instead, are you just like in it and out there and just, I'm done. You're the first person to leave and the last person to show up, and you can't stand some people and you make it very known that you can't. Have you tried to really just be the kind of person you are maybe on the weekends or at church? And bring that persona into the work environment. And sometimes you might actually have to sit down with people and have a good conversation and just put it out on the table. And that goes back to the fact of being honest and truthful, right? And I think sometimes when we get to know people, I know every time we get to know people, it makes it easier to understand where each person's coming from. Because otherwise people have to draw conclusions made out of their assumptions. And very rarely are people's assumptions on par. Most of the time, people's assumptions are off base and illogical, and they make decisions that have no bearing on reality. What about the respect that you give others? Are you giving others adequate respect in the workplace, in the home? When you show other people respect, this is amazing. You know what? For the most part, this works about 99.1% of the time. When you show other people real respect, you will ultimately get real respect. When we push people down, when we disrespect them, you're not going to get respect, real respect. And I found that the more that we respect others, it shows the more we respect ourselves. And that goes back to helping yourself and helping others. And another concept of really realizing purpose and path, even through your career and your workday, is when you're thinking about other people, what are the types of thoughts that you have of them? Because I've found that when we feel down upon ourselves, when we're having a rough day, when we have a lot of self-doubt, we begin to put other people down in our minds, and we're very rough on them. And so begin to recognize the thoughts you have about your coworkers, your families, your friends. And begin to recognize those thoughts. And if you're having some distinctly negative thoughts, I implore you to do some more investigation into why you feel that way or why you're thinking that way. Because just a little piece of advice. You can treat somebody well to their face. However, if you're thinking negative thoughts about them, subconsciously they will know it. Subconsciously they will not be able to trust you. And vice versa. Haven't you ever been in a situation where somebody's nice to your face and for some reason you just can't trust them? Why do you think that is? Bingo. It's because that person is thinking about you in a negative light. That person's making decisions and negative assumptions or thoughts and negative light about you in their mind. And they hold those in their mind. And that's why you don't trust them. Because at the heart of the matter, they don't trust you. At the heart of the matter, they don't care about you. The next thing is that you got to truly love yourself and other people. And so even in the workplace, even though this might sound weird, I'm not talking about sexual harassment or anything like that. I'm not talking about getting grabby handed. I'm talking about actual love between platonic people. You can love your coworkers, by the way. You can show love to your coworkers. And I think it's one of the best things. When you love people openly and honest, you get love back tenfold. When you love people, you get love back tenfold. And you know what? People don't feel weird about giving it because they're already feeling the love. It's the flow, baby. It's the flow. And you know, that's an amazing feeling when you love other people and when they love you back. It's awesome. And why not do that at work? You're at work at least 10 hours a day. Why not love your coworkers? Aren't they kind of a family? And extend that love and that radius throughout your entire life, because one of those things that's going to happen is you're going to get to know people on a level that you never thought you would. You're going to get to know people on a level that you never dreamed you could. And you might actually learn something from it. And that relationship could go outward from the workplace and into something very beautiful that could be amazing. And I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about you could start a business together. Y'all could end up going to church together. You could do all kinds of, your families could start traveling and rock climbing together, or whatever it is. You don't even know, sky is the limit. There is no limit. But when you start to get to know people and to open up and to be a normal human being and a friend to people, no matter where you are, the world is your oyster. You know, the next thing is to practice what we preach. And I'm not saying that you're out there preaching, Bible beating, anything like that, but you got to practice what you preach. If you're out there thinking that you need to be honest and truthful and you're telling people that you need to do this and that and this and that, you got to do it too. Because that's what's been going on now in our society for a long time, is when they can find something wrong with somebody, they point it out. And the more famous you are, the more well-known you are, the more broadcasts that they talk about you. Because I think the biggest deal is knocking people down from their chariot. And it's like the news and all these people like to take down people that they think feel better than others. And it's interesting how they will forgive certain people's drugs and this and that and all that. But some people, they just won't seem to get over. And I fear that if you practice what you preach, and you do what's right, there's nothing that somebody can point out. There's no rock or stone that somebody can throw at you. And it's just a better feeling in life because it's living right. And you feel good about yourself because you know what? You're not having to hide everything. Just the opposite. You're able to embrace your life and you're able to practice your purpose and take your life to that next level. The next thing, and last but not least, offering help to the less fortunate, do we render aid? Do we help people, animals, and even plants? And think about it. I mean, when you really get to that point in life where you're living life correctly, you start realizing, and when you're living life with full purpose, with full-on 24/7 purpose, you want to be there and you love every single animal, person, and plant that comes into your life. Everything you pass, everything that's around you, you're part of the whole. And it's an awesome feeling because it's like, wow, I mean, this is amazing. And, you know, you start to just love unconditionally. And every time you love something and as you love and as the love flow, the love comes back. And there, it's just infinite. And so in the workplace, in your day-to-day life, whether you're going to the grocery store, getting in the car, wherever you're at, just respecting people, just talking to people, just saying hi, giving hugs, caring about people, being honest and sharing with people and giving people a hug and saying, hey, I love you, and really caring about them, sharing about your life and not just assuming that they know everything goes a million miles. And love will always come back. And the cool thing is that this is part of your plan. This is part of your plan and part of your purpose. And definitely God has a unique plan for you. Stay tuned. I have a great show for you next. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. And we'll be back this time in three shakes.